We climbed up and found a place on the wall looking down into the corral. The stone walls were whitewashed, and there was straw on the ground and wooden feed boxes and water troughs set against the wall. "Look up there," I said. Beyond the river rose the plateau of the town. All along the old walls and ramparts, people were standing. The three lines of fortifications made three black lines of people. Above the walls, there were heads in the windows of the houses. At the far end of the plateau, boys had climbed into the trees. "They must think something is going to happen," Brett said. "They want to see the bulls." Mike and Bill were on the other wall across the pit of the corral. They waved to us. People who had come late were standing behind us, pressing against us when other people crowded them. "Why don't they start?" Robert Cohen asked. A single mule was hitched to one of the cages and dragged it up against the gate in the corral wall. The men shoved and lifted it with crowbars into position against the gate. Men were standing on the wall ready to pull up the gate of the corral and then the gate of the cage. At the other end of the corral, a gate opened and two steers came in, swaying their heads and trotting, their lean flanks swinging. They stood together at the far end, their heads toward the gate where the bull would enter.
"They don't look happy," Brett said.
The men on top of the wall leaned back and pulled up the door of the corral. Then they pulled up the door of the cage. I leaned way over the wall and tried to see into the cage. It was dark. Someone rapped on the cage with an iron bar. Inside, something seemed to explode. The bull, striking into the wood from side to side with his horns, made a great noise. Then I saw a dark muzzle and the shadow of horns, and then with a clattering on the wood in the hollow box, the bull charged and came out into the corral, skidding with his forefeet in the straw as he stopped, his head up, the great hump of muscle on his neck swollen tight, his body muscles quivering as he looked up at the crowd on the stone walls. The two steers backed away against the wall, their heads sunken, their eyes watching the bull. The bull saw them and charged. A man shouted from behind one of the boxes and slapped his hat against the planks, and the bull, before he reached the steer, turned, gathered himself, and charged where the man had been, trying to reach him behind the planks with a half dozen quick, searching drives with the right horn.
"My God, isn't he beautiful?" Brett said.
We were looking right down on him. "Look how he knows how to use his horns," I said. "He's got a left and a right, just like a boxer."
"Not really."
"You watch. It goes too fast. Wait, there'll be another one in a minute." They had backed up another cage into the entrance. In the far corner, a man from behind one of the plank shelters attracted the bull. And while the bull was facing away, the gate was pulled up and a second bull came out into the corral. He charged straight for the steers, and two men ran out from behind the planks and shouted to turn him. He did not change his direction, and the men shouted, "Ha! Ha! Toro!" and waved their arms. The two steers turned sideways to take the shock, and the bull drove into one of the steers.
"Don't look," I said to Brett. She was watching, fascinated.
"Fine," I said, "if it doesn't buck you."
"I saw it," she said. "I saw him shift from his left to his right horn."
"Damn good."